right here.
Hi, Steve. So we said Michael who has the hot stop.
Yeah.
Okay, then we better hurry because one of the main items is to talk about the content session, which is happening in a week and a bit. So, Steve, shall we start?
Who else is on?
If you refresh, you should be able to see. We've got Fabian, Arturo, Amanda, Michael, Anthony, and Mary.
Well, I guess maybe in our discussion we should start off with the content discussion, the discussion of this week and a half from now session. Michael.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was wondering what kind of format we were thinking of. I can't quite think of a panel sort of mode. I mean, because essentially what we really want to do is just kind of kickstart the wiki. So I was going to get hold of Leo, and we're basically going to put his slides from the earlier presentation up on the wiki in terms of different kind of categories of topics, you know, say for the proposed content, in terms of things like, you know, underlying logical languages, applications, you know, case studies, et cetera, you know, so different kind of bins. But more or less, I mean, it's a question of us putting up a straw man that everyone can attack and so, or edit, depending on how friendly people are. So I was trying to think of the actual, you know, meeting on the 14th of week, would be a discussion around what was kind of up on the wiki and what big things were missing. But I can't see it being very dynamic or exciting in that sense.
Well, you could walk people through it and sort of talk about the rationale as to how you laid, you know, why you laid it out the way you did.
Okay.
And let people poke holes in that, you know.
So instead of being a panel, it would basically be Leo and I, you know, giving a little 15-20 minute overview of it, and then having a wide ranging discussion kind of over that. So it would be kind of like a brainstorming session.
Be in there.
Sorry?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Yeah, so it'd be more of like more. Okay, go ahead.
The PPT. I mean, that's one way. Another way is, I mean, if you look back at previous summits, some of these sessions, we sort of try to scan the landscape. So it might be useful to bring in a few sort of panelists who are already running programs, training programs like this. I mean, people who are running courses and talk about what they're teaching, share some of the experiences, and so on. Even if it's short, it would be interesting.
We have a track for that, though.
Yeah, I thought that was already covered.
No, have we?
We're saying the landscape of possibilities with
But that was mainly discussing about the survey. I'm talking about actually bringing in someone who is teaching a course. Let's say Anthony, for example, who's teaching a course, or maybe the Barry who's teaching a course, who has done the course and recorded it, and then have them talk about, I mean, what they taught and how effective was it, and so on and so forth.
Okay, so I kind of thought that was a separate mini track, so that Arturo and Anthony were going to be kind of taking care of that aspect of it.
Yes, in terms. Yes.
So do you want to combine these two?
This is our only content session, and actually it doesn't say whether it's current content or future content. As long as it helps us get sort of our eventual, I guess, future content model out there. I mean, that's one suggestion.
I think that's a very good idea to do it that way. I mean, I know ideally this would all just go by email, and then but I think to have a presentation of, let's say, four or five people who already taught authorities in either in the university setting or in some other setting, and you know, have them if overview of what they're doing and what their experiences are, maybe what they learned over time after they gave these courses repeatedly, that would be very valuable.
Okay, so what are Arturo and Anthony doing then in terms of their gathering of syllabi?
This is Arturo interjecting. We're doing nothing.
But we can offhand, I mean, we can almost name a few sort of usual suspects. I mean, of course, at the top of everyone's radar screen is the STI sort of SAM sphere training. And then I guess Barry has put up some material. The protege people at Stanford has been consistently doing this for years.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about training of tools or are we training of ontologies? Because, I mean, clearly, if you're talking about content, the Stanford people don't do anything.
I mean,
don't want to talk about the wine ontology, I hope.
Let me try to finish and then see how we develop from there. Then we can, I mean, since the whole education, even as we put it in a straw man, includes the academic training, the tools training, the professional training. If we get examples of representative examples of some of those and put those people on the panel and start discussing, I think it would be a very fruitful discussion. I mean, I guess Rob Hodgson has been doing those too. And so on. Amanda probably has a few more names she can recommend. And even if each person is given like 5 or 10 minutes, I mean, and then they sit on the panel, that would get the discussion really exciting.
Peter, I'd like to make a proposal in terms of the structure of that panel. I'm thinking of the following parts. We can start with a sample curricula. That will be people who have actually delivered courses, ontology-related courses, not tool-oriented, but education of ontologists. That will be one part. The second part, if you're interested, I can just do small commentary on references to ontology-related content from the ACM, IEEE curricular models. And another part would be then the straw man that Michael and Leo might have at that time of how do we propose to the community different curricular models. And then finally, we can talk about the status of the survey, or we can launch the survey that day. So that's my proposal.
This is Steve. I want to comment a little bit because I'm a little surprised, as I think Michael is. I think we want to make sure we keep our eye on the ball, which is the output, which is, you know, what are we going to propose? So I would suggest if we're going to do something like this, we lead off with at least a straw man that Michael and Gail are working on, and then we can have perhaps informed critique on the part of some selected people who have been teaching classes, because I'm a little concerned we're going to chew up a lot of time with half a dozen people giving 20-minute talks about what they've done.
I was suggesting 5 to 10.
Of actually producing output. So I would rather see it put the straw man up there and have critique of it by people who have actually done some of this stuff. But we keep our eye on the product. Otherwise, I think we won't get to it.
Can I make another focusing suggestion? And perhaps this is incorrect, but I was thinking that for content, Michael, I remember you saying a lot of the goal, as you understood it, was to have sort of a comprehensive collection of modules.
That's right, yeah.
So perhaps it'd be best to leave curricular structure out of this.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what the other group, the professional content is going to be kind of chopping it up into programs,
right.
You know, whatever the words we're using.
Right. So that might help a good bit, that the, you know, collecting, the, you know, the straw man is a collection of modules, and at least we can leave the conversation, like, sort of be strict about keeping the conversation off of,
I think actually Steve's idea might be a good idea, that in the sense of, so we will get the straw man out by, say, Thursday to give a week for people to review it. And then, but to identify the people that Peter had mentioned as kind of being responsible for giving a short kind of, you know, 5-minute critique of it, so that it's a little more structured than just a wide open brainstorming session.
Mm-hmm.
That there would be these specific people who would be charged with providing that initial critique, and then it would open up to everyone online in the call for that sort of idea. Does that sound okay, Peter?
Yeah, and in particular, I wanted to guard against these other people who are all auspicious educators themselves, that launching into a 20-minute discourse on their thing. I'd much rather see it as a focus on what we're focusing on this year.
Right, so the idea is...
focusing on the straw man.
Right, and as Amanda said, to kind of provide a whole kind of super... We're providing the superset of material, which will then be organized, chopped up and organized into different pieces, depending on the context that people have. But the idea would be that we want to be, the objective of next week's call is to have this superset and make sure we're not missing anything. If there's an aspect of emphasis, I guess that could be part of the discussion. But the goal would be to have the, all content on the table and make sure nothing's missing.
Well, I think that's a great idea, and I think that I agree with Steve in terms of the focus. In that case, what I would propose is just to change the name of the session, not just to call it content in general, but something that reflects the fact that this is something that we're proposing for the content, instead of more than what people are doing currently. Because of the kind of the organizational chart that we had, we had this division, you know, between content in the present, content for the future, and so that was what was confusing me a little bit. But if this is going to be the focus, that's great.
I think the idea would be that we're putting the straw man up for content of the future, and then the people who are providing the content in the present, right? Those of us who are offering ontology courses. Can then kind of make sure that everything that we are including is included there.
And let me, if I can add,
exactly.
Part of the feedback you'll get and that is needed, I think, is the consumers of the produced ontologists will probably weigh in and say,
yeah.
"We need you to be training them to do this," you know,
right.
Or you know. Yeah, they come out strong in that, but they can't do this or something like that.
Right. And then I think there has to be a follow-on discussion of about how things are packaged. It's tough. I'm doing an ontology course this semester, first class yesterday, and, it's hard to kind of, some things have to be left out because you only have 13 weeks. Of lectures, and
but it's in the module collection, this comprehensive module collection. I'm willing to bet that there will be some additional suggestions coming from the business side that aren't the first things at the top of the mind of the academic side.
Right. So we want to make sure that
and they'll vary. Importantly, so I mean, this is why it's so good to be doing something that's not trying to pare them down, but trying to get them all, because the training, even internal training, varies so much in different organizations.
Right, and so the idea would be that to have as wide this kind of the critiquing panel to be kind of to be as broad as possible.
Right, to be proper representation.
Challenge at this point is to identify
the right
members.
Panel. Yeah.
And get them ready for Thursday, which is
right. I was thinking, Arturo, if that's you, is that what you've been sort of trying to do anyway, is collect who is currently producing ontology training?
Oh, yeah, but remember, the tool that we were targeting was a survey. We already have some knowledge via Google search, essentially, that Anthony and I have done, but we realized that that's not an efficient way to do it, so that's why the surveys is the main tool that we are going to have to collect this type of information. And this is one agenda today, which is what is the status of the survey. So my view right now, after hearing Michael's and yours, Steve, view of what this upcoming session on Thursday is going to be next Thursday, is that we should concentrate on the vision for the future and start collecting feedback in terms of critique from people who have actually been working.
So I
think the number of people who would ask to do that is probably something on the order of 5. That's the right level, because in that case we will be able to come up with 5 people.
Yeah, 5 or 6, I think.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Let's start. Yeah.
Let me suggest somebody that is probably not on the list of everybody else. Jennifer Williams, who is she's in charge of training of applied ontologists and ontology books. So she's mainly working with people who are usually from the intelligence community. And I've participated in that training, and they have done it now for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, maybe even longer. So she has a lot of experience with training of people who don't necessarily have an academic background. I think she does a very good job.
Okay.
Sounds great. It's got one name.
Do you think should be strong on the content or on curriculum?
She is basically working with people who develop ontologies all the time, either people who are domain experts or people who are the domain ontology experts in the various agencies or people they work with. So, and she does the training. So I think she has a lot of experience of what is really important for people to learn about ontology so that they can start to develop their own ontology and compile them.
Right. Does anyone have contact with the SEMSphere people? Because, I mean, they would probably be a good party to bring in. I mean, and we have not heard about them or about what they do. Yeah.
What SEMSphere?
Yeah, I believe STI, sort of previously DERI, I mean, the Austrian, in Austria, has actually been focused in getting together a program. I mean, exactly what we're doing, except that they probably did it like years ago. I mean, 1 or 2 or 3 years ago. Because I just learned of this from the last few preparation sessions, because the SEMSphere has sort of repeatedly been mentioned, and I sort of looked that up a little bit. I'm totally not familiar with them, but I guess people from Europe, maybe. Anthony, are you familiar with what they're doing? I know sometimes.
No, not at all.
But you're familiar with the STI people?
Mm-hmm.
Dieter Fenzel and company?
No, I don't know what they're doing.
Okay, so far on the list, though, I guess we have Jennifer Williams, Barry Smith, Ralph Hodgson, and somebody from Protege.
I would suggest, so Ralph does not actually do the training for Top Quadrant. I know that Dean Alamang does it a lot. Scott Hemler. I'm not sure if they have other folks that do it sometimes as well. I think Dean is their primary Robert Coyne might be in charge of it. I'm not sure. But,
Dean Alamon would be a good idea, I would say.
He is the main person who travels and trains and speaks and does whatever.
Okay.
Sounds good. Yeah.
I still don't think that anybody from the Prodigy group is going to be of any much help. I mean, I've sat through their Prodigy training.
It's very tool oriented.
And it's tool oriented. And, I mean,
that is somewhat
what
true.
That's supposed to do. But I think there's nothing in general to learn for us. I mean, if you want to have an overview, I mean, they will tell you, well, it's important for you to learn prodigy. We know that already. And everything else they can tell you is not going to be, I think, generalizable.
That's somewhat true for the top quadrant stuff as well, in my experience, but not quite as badly.
What about Chris Welty, who has strong design sense of what's a good ontology and not a good ontology? Might he be valuable? And thinking of his, you know, ontocline as far as what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing when you're putting an ontology.
Well, you know, for that matter, Deb McPherson and Natasha Noy wrote that ontology 101 paper.
Yeah. And that's the reason why they shouldn't give.
Right.
Do that.
Okay.
Because that's not a good paper.
Well, I thought we were getting a representative sample.
But everybody reads that paper. And I actually was going to suggest that Mayor Deborah McGinnis, the fact that, I mean, they've started up RP, the whole RPI scenario just these few years, and they must have something in mind.
Another suggestion I would throw out there, I think that actually the longest-running training program for ontologists that I know of in this country is PsyCorps. And, I have... You know, obviously, I went through it. I also taught in it. But I've been through a lot since, and I have not seen anything else produce on working ontologists as reliably of the stuff that's done in industry. So,
do you have any name?
Well, I don't even know who's still there who's teaching. I could definitely make suggestions of people who actually... I might get shot for this if it's overheard from the next cubicle, but I could suggest there's someone who taught the PsyCorp course many times and is doing our training now internally, which is Alan Belasco.
Yeah, we can do that.
He comes over, so he might throw something at me for saying that. But.
Well, if all else fails, we'll just have you. all we need is a critiquer.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think Pierre has responded to. I mean, he was active on the email list. I believe Pierre originally comes also from the PsyCorp.
He does.
He
certainly went through that training. I don't think he delivered it, but I can recall. But.
Yeah, just for everyone's information, sorry.
But there are lots of people, there are plenty of, there's quite a number of people you can find out there elsewhere in the world now who were at one point.
Yeah.
So all we're looking for right now, though, is like about five people who can kind of serve as a way to kick off the discussion.
Right.
By focusing it on certain areas. We don't have to have a super comprehensive panel yet.
Right.
Yeah, Peter Yim here.
I think that Chris Rowdy is really, Steve, I think, suggested that. I think Chris Rowdy might be really interesting.
I agree with that. I would like to propose Chris Rowdy as well. And also, I mean, Deborah McGinnis and Chris have been members of this community, and you might also want to extend the invitation to Jim Hendler, who's with Deborah McGinnis at the RPI. So that would be an interesting panel, I think.
Although that might be, since we're sort of, Jim is also a bridge between, he works with Deborah McGinnis, but also wrote the Working Ontologist book with Dean Alamang, so maybe sort of clustering.
Right. Peter here, one comment. Just so that everyone knows, Doug Leonard actually is part of the Ontology Summit gang since the very beginning in 2006.
Do not recommend that.
Right, but I'm not recommending that, but rather, I mean, if we need some name from PsyCorps, I mean, I don't think there's anyone else that we need to ask. I mean, we can just ask him.
Yeah, but I would like to say we already have a little bit of coverage kind of related to that legacy, then we don't necessarily have to get somebody from PsyCorps. Like, say, if Amanda or her colleague can kind of fill in there. So, you know, all we need is, like I say, is just, you know, about five people to get the discussion going. After that, then everybody should be contributing to the wiki itself.
Yeah.
Do we have somebody who represents the bio-ontology people?
Barry was going to be representing that area.
Are you going to try and have domain content in there as well? Because in that case, I wanted to bring this up, like, in deference to that, our major sponsor, this is the manufacturing lab. We might want to have a manufacturing perspective represented.
There's like a kind of an application stream, if you will, here that, you know, with biology, supply chain, semantic web, et cetera, e-commerce as being, you know, kind of part there. But I don't want to kind of get, have a representative from every potential area.
When I said bio, I wasn't really talking about the domain, but the way ontologies are used in the bio community really is different. I mean, they mainly use it as controlled vocabulary. They have different, I mean, they have really different approach. It's just almost by accident that people are using the same word, or at least in the beginning. It's really different kind of approach. And that's what I was. And they, for example, I remember Robert Stevens, I think he's from the University of Manchester, told me or mentioned on a conference that they had experiences trying to evaluate or training their on biologists so that they would generate the same annotations and the same ontologies based on the same input. So because, I mean, you know, they need to be reproducible, and they wanted to ensure that that not different people don't come to different conclusions or different representations taking the same input. And that's something which I think would be interesting also.
Well, you know, from that angle, you've also got somebody, well, I'm trying to think who Jim might actually do this, but some insight from the RKF and related research of a decade ago, or which was very much focused on enabling subject matter expert input, really ran into what are the things that people need to know to do that effectively, or, you know, what's really very, very subjective.
I kind of want to focus, though, on the people who they have offered some kind of ontology course explicitly. I mean, because otherwise it's everybody in the ontology community can you know, make comments about what they think. But this is come back to Fabian. So Barry wouldn't be an appropriate representative of bio?
Well, Barry is, of course, doing a lot of education and teaching. Barry does the Barry thing, and that's very important, and it's certainly just part that he does in the bio, for the bio community. But I was, for example, you know, the example that I just gave, training your ontologists in a way so that they are, that you can have reproducible output from the same input, is something which is very dear to the heart of these people who create, let's say, the gene ontology. And that's something which Barry wouldn't care as much about. I mean, as long as you get it right because you represent reality, that's fine.
Right, but do we have, a specific person who has engaged in that kind of training, or are we really talking about somebody who would be able to, you know, make comments online in the future between now and the physical face-to-face meeting, sort of idea?
I believe Robert Stevens has done that training. Well, at least they
good that evaluation, I guess, may have been part of their training, to improve their training. Okay, can you send me his email address? I will try to find it. Okay, thanks.
Now, this is Steve. I also wanted to step back a little bit and think about, you know, Scruffies versus the new kind of communities. Do you think we have representation of people who've done training from the Scruffy community? I mean, Jim Henry might be thought of as one of those.
What training has he kind of done in a sense?
Yeah.
I mean, his course?
I don't know what he's done in that regard, but I'm just wondering about content of, you know, what emphasis they might want to. They might want to have a few additional things in their camp as compared to the formal approach to oncology solutions.
Yeah, but I think that I want to make a distinction here between the people who are going to be on the panel for the meeting versus other people that we want to contact between now and the face-to-face to guarantee that we get their comments on the wiki. I think that's definitely a broader community that we want to engage, but otherwise we might just end up having, again, every single person we can think of who's been working on ontology being on a panel.
Michael, can you tell us, I think we kept notes, you know, what people do have on your list
right now? Okay, so far we have, in reverse order here, Robert Stevens, Chris Welty, Pierre Vigneault, someone from SciCorps, Jennifer Williams, Dean Alamein, Deb McGinnis, and Barry Smith.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good stat, I'd say.
Yeah, and given that not everyone would be able to say that.
Right.
Yeah, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people.
Okay, could you repeat that list again? Michael, I apologize. Something sort of crashed on my computer and I've lost the notes just now. But
why don't you just email it to me?
No. Okay, all right, yeah. But then let's very quickly go to the title, co-chair, panelists with God, goals, abstract. I assume you can send me a title and abstract by email, maybe within the next couple of days or so. I mean, since we pretty much know what we're trying to do now, you can get me a list of the panelists by this Friday.
Yeah, so I'll send you an email with the 8 names I have here, and I'll start sending out email to contact them this afternoon.
All right.
So that by the end of the week, I want to be able to have the panel pinned down.
Right, right. I need something to get the session page started by the end of the week anyway. And then can I assume that you and Leo will be co-chairing the session?
Yeah.
All right, great. Yeah. Sounds good.
And the idea would be that everyone, I just tell everyone that they're kind of giving a, you know, up to 5-minute critique on the straw man that Leo and I would be putting up. Idea. We're not going to be giving 15-minute presentations like Steve said. We're going to be just doing kind of, they're going to be launching the discussion sort of idea. Because I figure
sounds
if
great.
Leo and I kind of give a 15-minute overview of the straw man, we have 5 people giving kind of 5-minute critiques. We're up to 45 minutes or so. And then that's kind of half the meeting, and then the other 45 minutes, kind of dealing with the discussion then.
Sounds great.
Okay. And if anyone else can, you know, think of any other names that we hadn't covered, just send me some email, and I'll contact them as well.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, what else do we want to cover today?
Lots.
Arturo, you want to talk about the survey?
Arturo Sainz is here, Steve.
Okay, so I'm just going to sign off now. Sorry for that. Can I double book?
Right. Okay, so what remains to be done...
Michael?
Yeah, he's gone. He just said goodbye. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So Steve was asking me about the status of the review. The survey, and obviously he's referring to the one that Anthony and I are putting together that tries to capture information about what people are doing currently. So the status is the following: after that session where we requested feedback from people, we are yet to harvest all the feedback that has been recorded in the chat session and also some of the notes that Peter took at the meeting. And then we are going to incorporate that into this next version, which I suppose is the one that is going to be out sent out to the public. What I have two questions. One is, when are we going to put it out? And second, how are we going to communicate that to the community?
Yeah, that's something we need to coordinate. And there are three pieces to this. Presumably, you have a set of questions to ask Elizabeth Florescu, and I have a set of questions, you and Anthony, Elizabeth and I have a set, and Amanda and Ralph has a set of questions to ask. And a sort of semi-ugly way to do it is to do it three different times. A more challenging way to do it is to do it together, but then we are at various stage of the game at this point, and I maybe the these three groups could talk offline and come back next week with a suggestion. Should we do that? Because I don't think we have everyone here, and we probably don't have the time to discuss it. I mean,
yeah,
because these are just
for the
interest details.
Of time, I think that putting all the surveys together is going to be very challenging for two reasons. First is the actual composing of the survey. We need to choose a tool and then agree on how we're going to put it together. There's going to be branching. There's not going to be branching. That's a challenge. The second part is going to be the actual analysis of the results that we're going to gather. Again, then we'd have to get together and then separate, different parts of the survey, so the different groups again can get the information that they're focusing on. So my recommendation would be that in the interest of time, we just put three different surveys with three different URLs, and then let the different groups, gather the information, analyze it, and then present it to the community and the face-to-face. That's what I would recommend.
Yes, I agree with that.
I don't think it's the most beautiful thing to do, but I would agree to that too. And to help at least certain focus. I'm planning to put together a mailing list for just the advisory committee. So, I gather if we can get most of the advisory committee people to respond, plus a few active people who have already sort of been speaking at or coming to these sessions, we already have a very good cross-section of responses. So just for your information, that list would be available if you take that as one of the sort of launching pad to send your questionnaire out. So breaking it up into three parts is makes it a lot more easy to handle for I guess each of the groups.
Now, so I need for my own, and suppose Anthony would agree with this. In the new semester right now, I'm teaching three courses. I have a bunch of students that I have to direct their thesis, and so I need to manage my time. So I need to know two things. When is the survey supposed to be out and ready to go? And the window of time that it's going to be out, and by when should we have ready the results of the analysis of the data that we're going to collect. So I need these kind of three milestone points, if you will, control points, so I can lay them out on my schedule.
May I try to answer?
I would think we want them earlier rather than later, mostly because we want to feed that into things like the content and curriculum development.
And so, Peter, may I assume that once I have the URL ready, all I have to do is just to send it to you, and then you would choose the method of dissemination, either via email or just put a message on the wiki, or how is that going to be done?
The way I can see it, if we are breaking it up, then you control your own time, and you can use this exactly the same tool as I use. The same mailing list. If you want to use the Ontolog invitation mailing list, that is sort of the announcement list. I have to put you on there so that you can post to that. Except for that, I guess you have as much access as I do to the rest of the community. So you can craft that invitation message and then send them out to, let's say, Ontology Summit, which will address the Ontology Summit folks. Send them to, let's say, Ontology Summit Advisors, which will be just the advisor group, or send it to Ontolog Invitation, which would be the wider community of about maybe 1,300 people.
Okay. Now,
I would say go with the wide one, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Now, I wanted just to check with you the vision that I have. The vision that I have is that the survey is going to be there for a certain window of time, after which we close the survey, then we do the analysis, and this is what we would present at the face-to-face. Is that the vision that you also have?
No, actually. If you go to the calendar, we have, working backwards. March 15 and 16 is this summit face-to-face. March 4th is sort of the draft deliverable review and alignment. I would take...
Where is the calendar, the event calendar?
If you look at today's agenda and you look at for 254Z, as in zebra, 254Z.
254Z. Okay. Just one second, please.
Yeah, so just for Mary's information, if you sort of search on the page for like a control F for 254 zebra, then...
No, I'm there right now.
No, I am just since Mary is with us for the first time. So you can work back from the calendar. And sort of, ideally, March 4th would be the time when we hope all the draft deliverables will be in some form available for review and alignment by, let's say, the whole group. But that said, Steve is right in that part of the results of your survey, or at least the raw data, is helpful to the other tracks, particularly the content, maybe possibly the quality track. So making available some synthesis, or at least making available all the raw data received, would be extremely helpful.
All right. So maybe we should shoot by for the end of February to have that data available.
That's like 4 days before. I guess even sooner if we can.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Maybe two weeks earlier than that.
Is Anthony still in the call?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Anthony. So what we need to do, I propose, is that after this meeting, then we just need to coordinate to kind of do a small schedule for the two of us to start, finishing up this initiative.
Yeah, you agree? So, I mean, it's just if you email me after the meeting and we can
an absolute crap of time to talk.
Right.
Or do it by email. Yeah.
Correct. That, okay, so I'll send kind of a draft of the tasks that need to be done, and then we can divvy them up, and then we take it from there.
Indeed.
Yeah,
sounds good. I guess as a rough schedule to all three groups, let's target to have at least all the raw data in place by mid-February or something.
Okay.
And maybe for the content people, if you can have some synthesis by then or shortly after that, I mean, that definitely would be helpful to the other tracks.
So that's my report.
In some ways, the content, I think, is dependent upon the requirements and the survey to give a truth checking to what the straw man content is, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
This is Steve. In my mind, the sequencing is the survey work comes in. That can help inform the content in the pure sense of a module. The requirements comes in, which helps inform the curriculum development in terms of curriculum. And it seems to me that the primary two ultimate outputs of this will be proposed content and curriculum for the community. And then we have, as supporting material for all of that, is now much refreshed insight as to the survey results and requirements in the community. So that sort of gives some of the sequence, I think. I love it.
Okay, then
still on?
Yeah, I'm still on. And I guess Amanda, I remember you said you would need to work with someone on sort of building the questionnaire.
Yeah.
Could check with Ralph if he can provide that support.
Okay.
If not, you and I can work offline, and I will see how maybe between Elizabeth and myself we can provide you that
or
support.
Or if I'm just, you know, if I'm just, you know, pointed at, if there's an online tool or somewhere I can just, you know, point me to the to what somebody else is using or the best thing or something like that. I'll figure it out, but I just don't have enough. I don't have any experience in that. So,
question to Arturo: is the tool you're using sort of an open, public, free tool, or is it something that your school has licensed?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the latter. So this is an enterprise version of some tool. I forgot the name, but I'm using it through the university.
Okay, Amanda, we can work offline. I mean, they're like open tools that are like SurveyMonkey and so on. And
okay.
I use a set of tools. Elizabeth has a set of tools different from what I used to use also. So, I mean, we can figure something out.
Oh, Peter,
yes.
Before I forget, in regards to the node 25 for Zorro, I think that you still have 2009 there that you might want to take.
Yes, I better do that. Thank you.
That confused me a little bit when I took a look at it.
Sorry. That was...
Do you need any input for the questionnaire from our Slack? I'm still struggling to think of good questions for us, but it seems that the quality track doesn't really lend itself so well to this questionnaire. Is there anything or do we decide not to have any question for us?
Fabian, I mean, that's a good question. You have sent us some questions or a small set of questions already. I guess if we are doing a survey, then we will try to incorporate that into that one survey. So maybe between
when I work with Amanda, we'll make sure we include you in the loop, and then we can all work together.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Peter and Steve, unfortunately, I have a meeting at 12:30, so I need to excuse myself right now. Nice talking to you all. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
And so for the record, Amanda and Fabian and Peter and Elizabeth will work offline to get our act together.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, let's march down this agenda a little bit. We've done a little bit on the content. We've done things on the survey status, which is sort of spread into various other related surveys. We haven't really touched on the status review of the synthesis as such, but unless people have something particular to report there, is there anything out there we could skip on past that one, I would suggest?
Yeah, we can pass on that. I mean, we got.
Go ahead. What were you saying, Peter?
Yeah, I said. I mean, we've got really useful input from the community at the last session, the December 17th session. But since the holiday sort of came in between, at least for myself and I guess Arturo said just now. I mean, we have yet to mine that input. So,
okay. All right. So in that case, the next thing on the agenda is the advisory committee invitations. Peter and I have talked about that a little bit. I'm going to be sending out. I had sent out a couple of mailings already. One was to last year's advisors, encouraging them to stay on. I sent out a second mailing to a new slate of additional advisors, which from whom we have heard, you know, some fraction of them have accepted, a couple of them have declined. I'm going to send out another mailing when I get a chance, hopefully today. Just reminding those who have not responded of that invitation. Actually, I need to be reminded of what have we done about the Brazil contingency. We've talked around a bunch of names, but I don't know whether we actually reached out to them yet. Is that something I need to do?
Yes, yes. If you look at I made the post yesterday and included all the suggested Brazil names, and I guess the general sort of feedback I received is invite everyone. I mean, there were like about 6 names. So to keep everyone else posted, I mean, there was some discussion about Brazil being a country that actually is big on ontology training, and we have very little representation of people from Brazil on the advisory committee, and I sort of pinged a few people and I got a few names, and then we've got more names than I originally thought. I thought let's add one or two names from Brazil, and we got 6, and then I sort of asked Steve and Barry, and I guess the consensus is let's just invite everyone. So I added that to a list, and then I posted that list to the organizing committee list yesterday.
I see it, yes.
All right. So there's a group that says get it after January 4th or something like that. And these are the additions.
All right. So I'll take care of those ongoing invitations. Get that additional representation out there.
Right. And
I'll do that.
And there's one other point that I want to bring up.
Right.
Yeah, and I suggest when we send out the invitations, we send it out as sort of being invited by the co-chairs and the organizing committee, since I mean, we all have a say on this, although I have not heard much from other organizing committee members as to recommendations. That's one, and I want to suggest that advisors will be by invitation only. So far, we have not had anyone who has been recommended that has been objected. But we have a situation in there is one person who has sort of signed himself up onto the advisory roster, whom I would like to object, and that's why I wanted to limit the role of advisors to people whom we just invite, and it's not an open list for people to sign up.
Wait a minute, did I get it right? Somebody self signed himself up as advisor?
Yes.
That's very funny.
Right. That's true. And it's not something we want to lose control over, and this is why Steve is bringing it up. We talked about this, and we thought we should bring this issue up to the organizing committee, which we're doing right now, as far as what your opinions on that are, because we do feel that we need to retain control over who we feel would be appropriate advisors or not.
Yeah, well, this is not the Special Olympics. Not everybody who shows up is an advisor. Or has is a winner. I agree.
It would certainly start losing its, meaning if it was just anyone who feels like it can sign themselves up, basically.
Yes. And I have nightmares of organizations I work with hiring somebody because they have that on their resume.
Let's adopt that one and go to the next thing, which we haven't done, which is something we do over the years but we haven't done this year, and which is a list of co-sponsors. So from previous years, co-sponsors are sort of defined as organizations who provide technical or funding support and or endorsing the purpose of the summit, which practically means everyone who gets involved if they want their if they are willing to lend the name of their companies, we welcome them. I mean, this is actually a sign-up list as much as we can. Although when it comes to here, sometimes it's difficult. Some organizations are more generous, like Michael Gruninger and University of Toronto, and he can list the entire university. Others have to sort of come in with just their department and so on and so forth. So, again, we have not done this. We will have to work on it fairly soon, and maybe between Steve and Barry, I would suggest roughly about the same thing. I mean, Steve has done that last year before. Tell people that if they were there already from last year, we'll sort of bring them forward unless they opt out, and then solicit more names of co-sponsors. And of course,
just based on our experience from last year, I'd say that many organizations want to see, if you like, the finished product before they're willing to make a decision. And we, in fact, did a little bit of wording change at last year's summit, as I recall, in terms of the implications of endorsing specific projects. And instead, we changed that to exemplary projects, for ontologies and standards. But it was only at the end of the face-to-face that we were in a position to say, okay, this is...
Oh, we're losing you, Steve, again. He'll call back in. So, again, while he's off the phone, at least, let's hope all the organizing committee members will be listed as co-sponsors. So please work on that.
NIST is already a sponsor, right?
NIST actually is sponsored twice now. Now we have MEL as well as ITL as not just co-sponsors but co-organizers, and of course by default all co-organizers will be co-sponsors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure that I don't.
Right. And the ITL involvement is new, which is, I guess, extremely. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Right. You dropped off, but I was just about to comment. Your last comment related more to the endorsing the communique, which is independent of being a co-sponsor. So co-sponsor essentially lists the name of an organization with parentheses on the main contact we have there.
Okay.
So this is sort of a list that says, I mean, so many people are behind us in sort of supporting this objective or purpose. So when it comes to the endorsement of the communique, then I mean, some people are more careful than others as to saying whether they support or not. So I can work with Steve offline to
do that.
I suppose, I mean, it's similar thing as the advisory committee, but I guess less elaborate because we can just send out a sort of email little blast to the entire community, let's say on ontolog invitation or something, and ask people to send back their organization, the URL, the name of the prime contact and things like that.
Okay. Can you do that then?
I can help you do it.
I'd love to have be able to see just maybe some suggested wording or something. I'm just trying to. I'm thinking about
wording
several different angles of organization. They might ask to, you know, if they want to be sponsors. And I'm really unsure how to word this. So
now we have done this like four times. Four, five times before. I mean, essentially, I'll try to sort of search for the previous mails that were sent out. I mean, I'm glad. I mean, it's all on record in the organization committee archives. I'll take those out for Steve and maybe you fine tune it for this year.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you dig those up and. Send them to Amanda and see what if she has any thoughts on how they might be worded. And Amanda, I would encourage you to try out a drafting a straw man you think would work well.
Yeah.
And keep moving the loop, and then we can send it out.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Yes. All right. So the planned date review is the next thing on the agenda, and Peter, you pointed us to that part of the wiki that shows all those events. If you have anything in mind, there they are. I'm not sure. You don't have to.
I don't think. I guess we just sort of reconfirm the date. The only tricky part that we left off from last meeting was sort of trying to reschedule the quality track date, which now has been rescheduled.
Right. So it's now on the 11th of February. Right.
Right. Yeah, and you did mention something about whether or not to slip in another thing on a virtual panel on manufacturing. And if you want to discuss that, then this is the time.
Yeah, I need to still find out what are the expectations. Mary, are you still on?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hello, Mary Grady.
Okay, I'm still here.
I just wanted to fill you in on what this is all about. Is that NEL has certain expectations as to what the Ontology Summit would do for NEL.
Mm-hmm.
That's the manufacturing lab, for those of you who are not at NIST. But I wanted to
also give you and IPL the opportunity to weigh in. It's a little bit of a fourth fit in the sense of making this into a manufacturing ontology summit, only because the scope is quite broad. But so this is where I'm coming from on this, is out of deference to the fact that NEL has been a host and continues to be a host of the ontology summit. I'm doing what I can to address the needs they have expressed to me in terms of, you know, what are the requirements of the manufacturing community. But if you wanted to think about what you think ITL might want to have in there, I mean, I think we're being quite broad in across domains in the approach we're taking right now. But anyway, long story short, I need to talk with the NEL folks again at NIST to see just what their expectations are. If they really want to have some kind of a dedicated manufacturing discussion, I'm going to have to see how we can work that in. It's not going to be a slam dunk, easy thing to do, I don't think. But anyway, so that's what he was talking about. I had mentioned with him. But I haven't had that conversation yet beyond hearing Simon Frechette talking about a manufacturing angle on it.
Well, and I'll give it some more thought, but we're certainly not limited in ITL to manufacturing. And the more general approach is good for us. In addition, there's specific strategic priority areas for NIST that if some of those were covered, it would be good. So I can get you a list of those.
Okay, that would be helpful, actually. And, in fact, if it turns out to be very difficult for us to have a specific manufacturing thing, maybe I'll have to turn to ITL as one of the at least co-equal sponsors, quote-unquote, of the summit to justify its existence at NIST, in other words.
Right. I don't think that's any problem from our perspective, and certainly, you know, some of the discussions I've heard to date in terms of who's representing the bio-ontology community is an area that's very important to us.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's great to hear, because I'd like to have a stable platform upon which we can stand and hopefully have future ontology summits as well.
And Steve, you're familiar with the sort of master calendar page, the meetings call page, and there are very few open slots, Thursday slots. So if you want another session, virtual session before the face-to-face, you probably want to at least lock in the date or reserve the date fairly soon.
Just as a call to Simon Hunt to reach him again today.
Yes, this is me. Steve, just as an idea, I don't know whether it works, but if you want to have a relation to engineering, I mean, we observed frequently that ontology and ontology engineering has parallels to systems engineering. And, I mean, at least the people who are now, you'll probably need to convince that what we're doing is important to MEL, probably feel stronger that systems engineering is something they understand and feel good about. So I don't know whether that gives you an angle to, you know, to sell it.
Actually, that does. Actually, an excellent idea, Fabian, because as it happened, I know that Pat Gallagher, the head of NIST, is very interested in systems engineering. So that actually might be a good approach as well. So thank you for reminding me of that. Okay, so we're down to any other business.
One last item I was supposed to bring that up from last week, which I did the last meeting, which I have not had a chance. During a recent OR team meeting, the team just wanted to express their support and co-sponsorship for this, and said that if there's any ontology-driven thing, or if there's an open
ontology repository that could be useful to help sort of house education on or training ontology content for comparison. The OR team would be most happy to support that. So just bring up this message.
Can we list that in the list of sponsors?
Yes, eventually, sure.
Okay. I think we're at the end of the agenda in that case. And we've got the next meeting is not until, where is it? January 12th, which is only a week away.
Yes.
Why is it so? I guess it was the same time. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm having a memory problem here. Okay. So is there anything else that anyone else wanted to raise? Outstanding issues related to the organization? We're not having an ontology summit meeting this Thursday. There's other ontology-related activities going on this Thursday, units and measure. But we'll meet again, I guess, a week from today.
Yeah, one more comment I would like to, it's sort of good news I would like to share with people. I mean, I should have brought that up when we talked about the advisory committee. Is among the people who have accepted to be on the advisory committee two people of special significance. One is Sita Filani, from ITL, and of course their co-organizership as well. Sita used to be the director of the National Coordination Office for Network and Information Technology Research and Development, reporting to the White House. So, I mean, this is great. And we also have the acceptance of George Strawn, who is the current director of the NCO, of the National Coordination Office. So this is, I guess, very significant players that are now part of the advisory committee. And both of them has said that they will keep engaged. So I think that's really
great.
Good news.
Indeed. Raises the visibility, so that's good. Okay, we won't hold you any longer then. Thank you all for participating, and we'll speak again in a week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, bye.
Bye.
Bye.